Now I've said that the guru does not become like the disciple, that the guru does not change. But this is true only in a certain sense, in a limited sense. The guru does not change in the sense that he doesn't come down to meet the disciple halfway, as it were, as the disciple comes up. He just stays where he is. He doesn't change. But more than that, as the result of the communication, the vertical communication with the disciple, the guru himself evolves. The only guru who doesn't evolve in this way is a Buddha, an absolutely, fully, perfectly enlightened one. And even among gurus, a Buddha is very, very rare. In fact, it's sometimes said, especially in tantric circles in the East, that disciples are necessary to a guru's further development. I've even heard it said in these circles that nothing helps a guru so much as having a really good disciple. By good, one doesn't mean obedient, one doesn't mean docile, one means one who really communicates, vertically communicates, who is really trying to evolve, who wants to evolve. Of course, he may give the guru quite a lot of trouble, sometimes more trouble than all the other disciples, the good disciples, in the other sense, put together. It also occasionally happens, and historical examples are not unknown, that the disciple even overtakes the guru. So a sort of reversal of roles takes place. The disciple then becomes the guru, and the guru then becomes the disciple. But of course nobody minds, because they're both heading in the same direction.